This conference will now be recorded.
So this is the second session of account administrator training for Clark County. In the first session, we talked about just kind of the basics, logging into GovDelivery. You can do that at admin.govdelivery.com. On that sign-in page, there's a password reset. We logged in here. We kind of covered general orientation of the account. So the main navigation menu here on the left, and then we looked at some of the account settings in the upper right. That's something that's unique to you guys as account administrators. We talked about the support link here, which is a knowledge base of support articles that can be helpful for you. They're often linked to kind of where you are in the GovDelivery UI. So remember that's a helpful little tool. Some of the other things we covered in the first training were questions, which is a way to ask subscribers for additional information or upload other data fields along with just the default of email address. We also talked about macros. I'm crossing my wires here. Those are a couple things that we're going to talk about today. So we talked about administrators, categories, and topics last time, along with the account settings, which I did mention there. So today, we're going to talk about questions, macros, a new subscriber capture feature called Sign Up Builder, where you can kind of create your own sign up form that you could add to a web page. And then we will also cover some of the different template options, as well as connecting a social media account like Facebook or Twitter. So I think we'll start with templates, just because that's kind of a broad area, and there are actually a handful of different templates that you guys can access. When we look at templates, I think the most commonly used and commonly thought of templates are the advanced bulletin templates. So these are the starting points for when you go to create an advanced bulletin, or when the group administrators or topic administrators, the end users, are creating their advanced bulletins. They're usually starting from one of these advanced bulletin templates. So we clicked on templates on the left, and now we're being shown here the five custom advanced bulletin templates that exist within the Clark County account. Some things to note here, of course, we just have a name here. If you click on the name, you'll be brought into the template where we can edit it and work within that template. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. To the right of that, we have a section here called layout. If it doesn't say anything here for the layout, it means that it was built using a newer feature called the template builder. If it says layout here, that means it was a custom template usually created by our design team, which was the case with this one. So the layout refers to kind of the underlying code of the HTML template. So it's got CSS and HTML in the layout. But this new tool, the template builder, doesn't require you to set that layout or have that knowledge of CSS and HTML. It's a little more user-friendly and can be used to pretty easily create a new template. We'll look at that in just a second. The other two columns here are pretty self-explanatory: who the last person to modify the template was, and the date and time in which it was modified. To the right of that here, I think is a really helpful tool, which is simply copying a template. I think if you want to make modifications to a template, you should make a copy of that template, make your modifications on the copy so that you're not, overwriting the original. That way, if you don't like the modifications you make to the template, to the copy, you can always revert back or have that original still standing. If you come into a template and you're going to make changes there, there really isn't an undo feature. mostly because autosave is turned on. So here we have the autosave feature. It is enabled by default. You can turn it off, but if you're working on an existing template, making modifications, and you don't have autosave turned off, it's going to be saving your changes every minute, and there really isn't a great way to go back and say, actually, can we go back to the original template? So the way around that is creating a copy of a template. So for example, we could create a copy of this newsletter template, and it brings in all the styling and all the elements that were in the original. And in the template name here, it simply just puts the word copy in there at the end. And so you could then modify the name. Maybe this is for a, you know, specific department or agency or something like that. So at the beginning, you could put, you know, Department of Testing or something like that, and then save it here. When you're working in a template, there's a second tab right up here at the top for which topics it's assigned to. So again, if this is a template that is specific to a certain group or department, clicking on that Assigned Topics tab will allow you to kind of control who has access to a certain template. So the commissioner's template, for example, we would want just assigned to the topics with admin underscore and then the topic name. Maybe this county-based newsletter template is for parks only, so we can control who sees this template or who uses it. And that's kind of a nice way to, you know, silo the different templates once we have them set up for the different agencies. And then you guys in the future, if you're kind of creating new templates or bringing on new agencies on your own, you have the ability here with the Assigned Topics tab to control who sees that template. If I click back on template detail here, a couple other elements that you can set in a template, one up at the top here being the from address. So here we have just the account default, which is updates at info.clarkcountynv.gov. And as we populate in more from addresses, once they are completed by our engineering team, you'll see them in the drop down here. So again, if this was a template for Parks and Rec, we could set their specific from address on the template level here, and then save it. Other elements along with the template here, we have a couple different tabs on the right-hand side of the screen. The sections tab is where you can control whether things are a one-column section here. If I move down here, we see a two-column section. That's this. You could bring in something like a three-column section if you wanted. So the different sections here are places where you can then add content blocks. So here we have the different content blocks: heading, text, image, image plus text. In a template, you can add sections as we just saw here. But when you're creating your bulletin based on your template, you cannot add sections and you cannot control the styling or the themes here. So the themes are things like background color, font settings, font color, you know, padding, what the paragraph text is, what the H1 text is. So these things, the themes and the sections, are unique to the template. They can only be established or set on the template. While content you can add or remove in the bulletin, you can't add sections and you can't add themes in the bulletin. Again, that's only done on the template. Within a template that's using this template builder, when you're bringing over sections, they are automatically locked by default. So here we would want to unlock any sections. Apologies for dogs barking. With the sections here, when you bring them over, they are locked by default. So if they're locked by default, that means you can't delete them on the bulletin. So I always recommend, aside from something like maybe the heading section, it's wise when you're bringing over a new section, I think, to unlock them so that they could potentially be removed if you'd like on the bulletin. But again, if they should not be removed on the bulletin, again, maybe something like a heading block, you can leave it locked. So just to reiterate that, sections, when you bring them over, are locked by default, and therefore you can't remove them on the bulletin. Any questions about working with these different elements, the sections, the themes? Anything related to the advanced bulletin template?
I'm good.
Great. So that was working with a copy, and so I wasn't making modifications to the original because it was a copy. I'm going to delete this copy. I want to show you creating a template from scratch, kind of using that tool, the template builder. If we click on create custom template here, there are two different options. So one that I talked about is the layout based template, where you're in the background setting things like those containers, those sections, the HTML, the CSS. The template builder, as you can see from this little GIF, is a little bit easier to use because it's starting with a blank slate, and then you're bringing over those sections. So it looks very similar to, you know, what we were just looking at within the newsletter style template, but it's a blank slate, as you can see here. So you can bring over certain elements, maybe a section for a header, a section for kind of the main body. Maybe you want a two column section in there. A one column. There's a right sidebar and a left sidebar here. I think at one point Zach had talked about maybe making a template with every type of section, because those can be, removed on the bulletin, but they can't be added in on the bulletin. So if you created a template with a little bit of everything, again, the person creating the bulletin could remove the sections or move them around, but they can't bring in new sections. So here, if we're creating a template with a little bit of everything, this gives kind of maximum control to a bulletin creator. And if I unlock them here, again, then they can be deleted or moved around on the bulletin itself. So if we bring in then, you know, some different elements like a heading block, a text block, image block here, and then if you are modifying the themes, so we click on themes, we do have to click on this customize theme, and then we're going to get the ability to set things either kind of as defaults, so row defaults or column defaults, or we can go to the specific row one, row two. You can see that little gray dotted line highlight around where it says click to edit the setting. So there, if we click on row two and then column one, if we go to the H1, we will be able to do things like control the font size. You'll see that change a little bit there. If I boost it up to 30, you can see that change. So here with these themes is where you can control, you know, different things like the font size, background color. You know, we can put that to something. So all of these different elements you're able to control on a template, but not the bulletin. And then again, the assigned topics, this is where you can control who can see it, which different groups, which different administrators, those login rights, who can see that template. I'm going to remove that as well. Actually, that was X. So the advanced bulletin templates are an area that you guys as account administrators can work with. Other administrators can work with them as well, but you guys might be asked or leaned upon to help with some of that. So that's under the template section. It's the first thing you see within the template section. But then on the right-hand side of the screen, we do have a handful of other things that are based upon templates, not necessarily the advanced bulletin template. We have templates for different things like landing pages, where kind of a web page version of things can be created. The subscription pages, these are kind of the different pages that are shown when someone is signing up to your GovDelivery account. So there's a lot of things that are set here that there are some elements that we can't control. But if I move down to the bottom and hit the preview button, this is going to show us kind of what the page looks like. So you guys might remember this. There are certain elements here that we can't control, but if I go back out of that, you can see, you know, some of the text, some of those things can be controlled by, you know, you guys can modify that language if you need to. So those are the subscription pages. The transactional messages below that here are the automated messages that go out of the system, and you guys do have the ability here to control some of that as well. So these are things like welcome new subscriber message, subscription acknowledgement. If a subscriber deletes their account, you know, the language they get is set here. So these are areas that you do have the ability to control. It's unique to an account administrator, but most of the time you probably won't be working here in this area. One area that you might be modifying or working in, the auto responses. This is another template. We set these up when we create a new from address, but if you would like to modify an auto response, you do have that ability here. The auto response is pretty stock. It's just, you know, this is an unmonitored inbox to contact a certain group. Please follow this link. So if you wanted to modify that language of an auto response, you can do so here. Just a couple other items here that I want to hit on because they might be used a little bit. The general bulletin template. This is the other template editor that can be used. It's not the drag and drop advanced bulletin editor. It instead relies on this WYSIWYG editor. So kind of what you see is what you get. And that is something that can be controlled here. If something is set in the general bulletin editor and somebody clicks on bulletins, create bulletin, it's the general bulletin template that is pulled up. So if somebody just clicks on create bulletin, it's that general bulletin template here that is opened up as their starting point. Banner images. So we have in the account a banner image set here. And this is shown on the sign up pages when somebody signs up. But if you would like to upload additional banners, that can be done here. They should be like a PNG or a JPEG, and roughly about 700 pixels wide by 145 pixels tall. There is kind of an image library, so these are images that are uploaded into bulletins or into templates, and they're stored here within this bulletin images area. Couple nice things you can do, like created by me, you can search by name. So it should help you kind of filter things out. If you need to clean this up from time to time, you can do so, you know, simply by clicking on them and then deleting them. The signup themes here relate to the signup builder, which is something we'll look at in just a little bit here. If you would like to create a new kind of signup form, we have the ability to do so with the signup builder. But first, a signup theme must be created. And this is just like colors that will be used in the signup, a banner image. So we could set, we could create a signup that was really specific to a particular agency, you know, perhaps Parks and Recreation as an example. So we could here do and if we add in some colors, it kind of uses this color picker. You know, maybe we can, whoops. And I think this is a browser-based color picker, so it might look a little bit different for whoever is using this. If we want to add another, we can do so. So now we have a couple colors. If we set a font that's required, we'll just do Arial. The privacy policy, these items will just link to the defaults if we don't set them. Fonts can't be blank. I thought I set one. Go back and say add. Okay, there we go. And we'll save that here. And so now if we click on subscriber capture on the left-hand side of the screen, we will see the signup builder. So again, the signup builder is a way to kind of create a custom signup form for a particular topic for a, you know, certain group. If we, again, pretend this is for Parks and Rec. So if Parks and Rec had their own specific banner, that could be up at the top. Right now we just have kind of the county default there. And with these different elements, we can say things like, so on the main county signup pages, that language will be the same for all of the different groups across the whole account. It's kind of set in those subscription pages templates. And again, it's kind of a one size fits all. So if there are groups that would like to kind of customize that, while it can't be done on those specific pages, this signup builder could be a tool that is used for that. Component type on the right hand side here. So I've clicked on email. We can say email, SMS, or either. And then obviously the placeholder information that can be controlled by you guys. If we would like to do things like add in a question and you want to try and capture something like first name, last name, zip code right here on this page, that can all be added in using these different components here. So we have components for a heading, text component, question component, or featured content. If we, up at the top, hit save, and then finish, then it will ask us what topic we want to link this particular sign up to. So if I hit finish here, it's going to show me a few different topics. For a topic to show here, it needs to be a listed topic, and it needs to have SMS enabled. So there, we could, whoops, pick Parks and Recreation, and it will ask you to assign an interest tag related to your topic. So there are some preloaded interest tags here. Maybe we can search for parks, and that's in here. So we could just say publish this, and let's see. There is a success page at the end here. You can kind of control some of the language here. You can add in additional pages. Maybe you want to ask additional questions, you know, first name, last name, zip code on the second page and not the first page. You could do that here. You could also create featured content, which would allow you to kind of put in other topics. So with the sign up builder, it's basically signing somebody up to one topic here by default. If you would like to give the subscriber the option to sign up for additional topics, you can do that by adding in featured content. And then I'll show you back in the account where you can set the featured content. And so then it would show here additional topics that are set in the featured content. I'm going to remove that page. With the finish button here at the on the success page, you can control which URL the finish button leads somebody to. So it's currently set to the county default, but you know, maybe you want to take them to a particular web page after they hit that finish button. You can control that here. So this is, again, kind of a cool tool to create kind of a custom sign up, maybe that has custom language or custom branding, you know, that is different than the account wide. So we set those colors on the sign up theme, we set the font, we set the banner on the sign up theme, and now we can, you know, control them a little bit. So for example, we could make a color or make the button a certain color if we wanted. If I, let's see, go back to the account, there are a couple different ways in which you can display that sign up. So again, it's under subscriber capture here on the left, sign up builder here. And we can get a link to the sign up. So you could put that on a website, link it to text, link it to a button, click here to sign up. There's embed code that allows you to embed that sign up form right on a web page, or there is kind of an overlay code that would allow you to have that sign up pop up as kind of an overlay in the middle of the screen. So a few different ways in which you can create a sign up. The sign up builder, I think, now kind of transitions into questions, because that was a component within the sign up builder. So creating questions is something that you guys as account administrators have the ability to do, and that some of the other administrators don't have the ability to do. So this is something you guys might be asked to help with. A question can be asked either to the account itself, if it's not set to a topic here, or it can be asked of a specific topic or related to a specific topic. And again, questions can kind of be used one of two ways. They can either be asked of new subscribers when they're signing up, or they can be kind of hidden from new subscribers but used to upload additional information or data fields. So if you think about maybe a spreadsheet of email addresses that you want to upload to an unlisted topic, maybe it's a media-only topic, and you have things like media name or, you know, which areas of the county they cover, you could upload that additional information. But first, you would have to create a question for those additional data fields. And then, once that question is created, so we could say like media type, how about that? The question text, if it's a publicly facing topic, the question text is displayed to a subscriber, but if it's just kind of a question used in the back end for filtering, question text isn't as important. But you could say what your media type, and if it's something like free response, it cannot be used for filtering. But if it's something like select one or select one or more, then it can be used for filtering. If it's a select one or select one or more, you do have to populate in the potential options. So if we just say select one or more, and then we hit save, we can't make it publicly visible if we want to until there are answers or potential answers for the question. So I'm going to hit save there. Once I do that, I will be asked to create some answers here. So you can either manually type in answers, and answers again are to this question of kind of what's your media type. So we could say newspaper and add that in. You can also upload answers via a CSV file if you have things like zip code, for example, where there are tons of potential answers. You don't want to manually type them all. You can upload them here via a CSV file. But we'll just put in a couple other examples here. So this would then allow you to upload a list of email addresses if you had them for like media only, a topic that's media only. And then if in your spreadsheet you had these different media types listed out, so an email address and then what their media type is, it would be kind of tied to their subscriber record here in your GovDelivery account. And when you go to send a bulletin, then you could filter, you could select your media only topic, and you could say, instead of sending this bulletin to the whole topic, I want to send this bulletin to just those email addresses that have an answer of newspaper or of just TV. So you can apply a question to a specific topic. If you don't apply it to a specific topic, it's kind of available for all of the topics within the account. So the DA's office currently has a media releases topic that they're going to use. It's going to be an unlisted topic, meaning it's not available for sign up for the public. So we could set that question for their specific topic. One other thing that could be helpful here is kind of following that naming convention again. So we've seen that a few times throughout the account and throughout our couple training sessions here, where you could say something like CCDA. The name is an internal name, so the public doesn't see that. They would see, you know, question text here if you were making this a publicly visible topic. Or not, but having that acronym or naming convention would be helpful so that when you're looking, you guys as account administrators are looking at the different topics you would, or questions you would see, kind of who that belongs to. And related to that, we have macros. Macros are things that can, little, you know, tokens that can be put into something like a bulletin and auto-populate with things like first name, last name. So if we click on macros here, there are some default macros that are, you know, just created and across all accounts. So you can put things into the body of an email or the body of a bulletin, like email underscore address, and it will tell you here what that does. The macro will be replaced with the email address of the bulletin recipient. So different things like that can be helpful. There's a macro for subject line, for example, and that's a macro we often put in the text message field by default, so that bulletin creators or bulletin editors don't usually have to modify the text message that goes out, because it usually has a macro for subject, and it also usually has a macro for short URL, which leads to a shortened bulletin landing page URL. So the text message subscriber gets the subject line of the bulletin in a text message and a short URL that they can click on to view the bulletin in its entirety. So those are a couple examples of the default macros, but you can also create custom macros that are tied to those questions. So we currently don't have one set up for first name, last name, but we can do that here now together. So macros are always capitalized. All the letters are capitalized, and you can't have any spaces in them. I'm going to also open a bulletin in a new tab. Actually, I had it open there, just so I can show you how to enter a macro into the body of a bulletin. So if we create a macro for first name, again, there are no spaces, and it will, even if you try and type lowercase, it will put it all into capitals. So we could just do first name. The description is not required, but if you wanted, you could fill this out. And here, with the question dropdown, it will ask you to select which question you want to tie this macro to. So obviously, first name. It does require a default value. So if a subscriber bypasses the first name field when they're signing up, but somebody still wants to use something like dear first name in the body of a bulletin, a default value is required in case that subscriber has not filled out first name. So you could say something like dear subscriber, dear resident, dear friend, you know, something like that. But again, it is required. So now our macro has been created here. And if we come back to the bulletins tab, which I've opened here in a new tab, and say create advanced bulletin, I just want to show you real briefly how the macro should be entered, because it is a little bit unique in that it requires brackets, double brackets on both sides. So if we bring over a new text block, we could just put it right up at the top and then click right in there to edit that and say dear, and then double brackets, 1, 2, and then we can say first name and double brackets again. So that is how a macro has to be entered with those double brackets in order for it to render. I hope that all makes sense. Anyone have any questions? Again, I'll
No,
point
we're
out
all
that
good.
cool, that support link here should hopefully pull up a support article because we're viewing macros here. And it should bring up an article related to macros, hopefully. Yeah, there we go. Great. So again, that support link can be a helpful tool if you're kind of poking around in the account and just want a reminder or refresher on how to do something. And the last thing I wanted to show you guys was social media here. So this is where a Twitter or a Facebook account can be connected to your GovDelivery account. Those are currently the two social media platforms that can be added here. And then doing so would allow a bulletin to be posted to one of those respective accounts if it were added. This is something that is unique to account administrators, is adding the social media accounts. So with Facebook, for example, if we click on Add Facebook Pages, let's see, I think it will. So sometimes it will, you know, kind of look like you are adding your personal page, but with the way Facebook works is if you manage something like a community web page, it's tied to your Facebook login. So I don't have any, let's see, I don't think I have any test. Maybe I do. There we go. So we added a Facebook page, Ben's Department of Testing, and that's managed by my personal Facebook profile. After you add a Facebook page, you have to click on it here in order to control which administrators can post bulletins to that Facebook page. So it's not topic-based, and it's not but of course, administrators are tied to topics. So we could give this access to everyone, or we could kind of limit it. And then when a bulletin is created, you'll see the social media options on the audience selection page of creating a bulletin. So when you go to add a Facebook page, you'll have to know the login credentials for, you know, whoever manages that page, and then you'll have the ability to select, you know, which Facebook page they manage. So we could potentially give that to everyone. And I don't have a Twitter account, so I can't go through that process of adding one here, but it is very similar. I'm going to remove that now.
So, Ben, this is Susan.
Yeah.
So, am I understanding you correctly? So, you know, all of the commissioners would have, you know, whichever ones have Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
We need to know their credentials?
Not. It would be the individuals that manage them. So, if, for example, and I don't even know if this is true, but like if Alex works with a particular commissioner and his personal Facebook profile is tied to the commissioner's Facebook page, then when you go to add that Facebook page, Alex would need to enter, you know, his credentials. So what we've done sometimes in the past is do a screen share here. And so instead of Alex telling me, you know, his email address and password, I could pass him the keyboard and mouse controls on a screen share, and he could then enter that without me knowing it. Or he could, walk over to your computer if you guys are in a similar building, and maybe not right now under the current circumstances, but and enter the login information from, from your computer. So it is.
Tanya, are you there?
Was that Michael? Did you have a question? Or Susie, did you want to?
Yeah, this would be Facebook specific, right?
It is, something that is for both Twitter and Facebook. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, but as far as a Twitter goes, a Twitter account is a Twitter account.
Yeah, right. It's not like managed by, yeah. Yep, you are correct.
I'm here, Susie.
Okay, so for example, the commissioners, obviously, they're going to want their own accounts on the, footer or whatever for the newsletters. Who controls their accounts? Do they do them themselves, or do they have people doing them for them?
I think it's a combination of they probably do some of it, or maybe. And then sometimes a staff person. I've actually had Weekly's office call me and say, can you post XYZ? Because I don't remember his whatever. And I'm like, I don't have it either, but I can make a post on his page. So, I mean, it's, I think Justin like does his own stuff. Yeah, probably does too, but I don't know if they've given any additional access to one of their liaisons.
Okay.
Because right
I just
now,
needed
you don't
it.
Have to do
and
all
I
that.
Think...
You just put, like, it's basically an icon, and the icon has the landing page. If you click on that icon on the Commissioner Jones's newsletter, takes you to his Twitter page. But I don't have to have his credentials to
and I think
account.
So I think I just want to clear this up too. This feature that you're showing us right now, Ben, is specifically for actually posting on behalf of those account Facebook or Twitter accounts versus a link on the footer. We
correct.
Set that.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So this is like I write. They do their bulletin or whatever, and then they want to finish the bulletin and have the bulletin also go out, but also appear in their Twitter feed. Is that how this basically will work?
Yep. Exactly. So here I have the advanced bulletin creation process open. After you work with your, content in your bulletin. And you come to select your audience, you would pick your topic. So which subscribers do I want this bulletin to go out to? But then also down at the bottom here, if a Facebook account is connected and the administrator has access to that Facebook account, the bulletin or the newsletter can be posted right onto their Facebook page from here. But yeah, like you just said, there's also the component which is not what we're talking about right now, which is the little Facebook icon in a footer. So no login credentials are needed to, put an icon or link a icon to the footer.
Yeah.
But login credentials are required to add that posting authorization.
I think they'll have to decide at their discretion, Susie, whether or not they want to use that. Because right now, they're... information goes out on social media because I'm a social media person. I always post their newsletters.
Okay.
And I'm assuming then they take and post their own newsletters to their respective Twitter pages. So I just think that'll be at their discretion. As long as they understand how to use it, they can decide what to do in that space. And then we have the main county social media space that we usually post to. And then they still do, even right now, they still do their own. If they're going to put anything on their own feed, they do that themselves or whoever they have designated. So they should be fine to make that decision at the time, as long as they know they have it.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for that clarification.
Yeah, really, really good questions and discussion. Those are the items that we wanted to cover here in our second account administrator training. So I want to use the last couple minutes here to see if there are any other questions before we stop the recording or hang up the call. Any
While
questions?
We're on the call?
Yeah.
Because I think I forgot to ask, or maybe I did, I can't remember. Tanya, they were talking about taking certain specific questions that people were thinking about asking, you know, in the different departments and making them countywide, which would line up, I think, with what we do currently out of Lyris, which is, of course, the email is required, but ask first and last name and zip code, and those are optional. So
Correct.
Rather than having each individual department set up those same questions, just across the board, ask that.
Yeah, I could see.
And just to note, Tanya, that
go ahead.
Sorry. Just to note, Tanya, that we, on our current subscription page, we do ask for name, zip code, and email, but email, like Susie said, is the only required field.
Yeah, I've signed people up before, so because we provide a concierge service as well. And we sign people up all the time. If there's certain categorical information they want to capture, I can see where maybe some of those questions might expand. We definitely could capture basic information across all of the departments. The most unique thing with commissioners is them isolate, however they get around to figuring out isolating those groups. I think Kirkpatrick's team told me they have like 22 different groups they're emailing to. And I was surprised to find out it was that many subsections, but if there's a way, usually it's zip codes. The problem is that some of the zip codes can overlap. But it's just narrowing down to groups within their districts that, like, we might be able to ask questions like about age or something and then categorize seniors or something, or veterans or whatever it is they might try to do. So the basic
yeah, you questions. Could do more specific questions, you know, in the different departments or areas, but these would just be kind of the ones that would be available for use for everybody
right
if
now,
we just asked them.
Straightforward. It's just like your name and
yeah.
your zip code.
Are you good with that?
I think that I am, but I think one of those, some of that could be, let me think about that, because I'm trying to think
okay.
if there's any additional question a commission office would have or department that we could put in the general. Because like by department, it might matter to them what commission district you live in, for like public works or you know, parks and recreation or something. It might matter to them which district you're in a little bit, but then again, it may not. It might matter to them if you're really in unincorporated Clark County, but I think we can definitely, the start is the basic stuff.
Yeah, so I think the question is it okay to apply first name, last name, and zip code across the whole account?
Yeah.
And then, of course, additional departments or groups can ask their, you know, own additional questions. But right now,
yeah.
I think Susie's question is, do we have permission to apply these widely across the whole account?
We have them now, so I can't see why it would change, or why we need to worry about changing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they are optional. So I will go ahead and make that change now.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that back up and asking about it. All right. Well, any other questions or comments? Hopefully you guys have been able to digest some of this and retain some of it. I know it's kind of a lot. So if you have time and the ability to log in occasionally, I think that's kind of a good way to keep things sort of fresh. We will schedule kind of a bulletin creation training. So, you know, that's something that you guys are all welcome, of course, to attend. And that will be geared more towards like the group and topic administrators. But obviously, you guys having that background of, you know, how to create and send a bulletin and upload email addresses to a topic is good information as well. And we'll record that training. So if you are unable to attend but would be interested in viewing the recording, we can get that to you as well.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks a lot easier to use than Lyris, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree with that, Tanya, but yeah, it's pretty straightforward, which is great.
Good. Thanks for the feedback.
More options, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah, more options.
And
that's
more
definitely
user-friendly and, you know, cooler design. We'll look modern.
Great. Well, if you guys think of any specific questions and want to follow up with Zach or I or Susie, feel free to just send an email our way and we'll try and help you out as best we can.
Sounds good. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, everyone, for your time. Take care.
Thanks, guys.